from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
All right, what is going on, Bay Area? We got a draft in the books. Day two, for the first time, is over in the NBA, and the Warriors looked like they weren't going to have a pick, and then they grabbed the pick, and in fact, they grabbed a two-way player all on day two to finish round two of the NBA draft. And this is our draft show on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners. Evan Giddings, Mark Granny with you for the next 2 hours. Granny been running around the city, was listening to Willard and Dibbs' fantastic show, was down at Chase Center earlier today with Steiny and Guru. We spoke with Kirk Lacob, talked to Trace Jackson Davis, the Warriors' most recent second-round selection until this year. But what's been going on, brother? How are you feeling at the end of the NBA draft this summer?
Not too bad. Kind of an interesting day for the Warriors. We closed things out yesterday talking about how we thought the Warriors would play out in round two. I said they'd make two selections. Technically that was wrong, but they did gain two players.
Exactly.
So I think I'm going to give myself a win for that one.
I don't know if it's the full point, but we'll count the bucket. It's more like you went to the free throw line, you split, and We'll just count that as a made basket. How about that?
Yeah, I'm good with that. Because they got, it's kind of interesting. You're picking 52nd overall, and you're thinking, well, the Warriors are in a position where, first of all, you're picking late in the second round. Very unlikely you're going to get a player that turns into anything really positive in the NBA. The odds are against you. And it's even more against you to get a player from that spot that's going to help you win basketball games now. And that's what the Warriors are. That's what they really, really need.
That's what we'd hope.
Ideally, that's what you want. That's what they need given their current situation. So if you were maybe trying to put a percentage chance on, how gaining a player from that spot in the draft is likely, most likely to help you, it might be by trading the pick and getting someone who's been in the NBA for a few years, who has at least a proven NBA skill. And Waters, OKC, nothing special, obviously, but 40%+ shooter from downtown. So at least you got someone who you feel like has a skill that is already NBA ready, hasn't done it on a huge scale, but it does seem a little bit easier to predict what that guy might be in the league because he's already been in the league. So and then you go out and you spend some money and get that pick back and you get a 7-footer out of Boston College who can shoot the ball, Quentin Post. We'll see what he turns into. But, all in all, considering they were picking 52nd overall, you get two players, one who's been in the league already and another who has, good height and can shoot. Not the worst thing, but let's not pretend like it's going to be the difference between the Warriors winning 40 games and winning 45 games.
No, if it is, that'd be awesome, but I'm kind of there with you. To kind of quickly recap the day, the Warriors earlier this morning at about 10:30, actually, we were supposed to talk to Kirk Lacob at Chase Center. He was Kurt Late Cub because they
I'll give you three.
That was Spadoni's joke, actually. I got to give him credit for that
Shout out Spadoni.
They were making a trade, and they traded the 52nd overall pick to the Oklahoma City Thunder for, like you mentioned, Lindy Waters III. Also, shout out the Kiowa tribe, one of the very few Native Americans to ever grace the NBA. But you're right. So career 40-ish percent three-point shooter, 27 years old, spent the last 3 years in Oklahoma City. So at least he has a skill. I imagine he'd be a fringe rotation player right now for the Warriors as their roster currently stands. And then later, after Oklahoma City maneuvers their own deal, they trade their second round pick at 52 to Portland. The Warriors buy that pick from them for, like you mentioned, Quentin Post, a 7 foot center, ACC player from Boston College, also a 40% 3-point shooter, average around 20 points per game, 8 rebounds for what that is worth in the ACC, a team that was about 500. Just going to say it again, they finished in 11th place. And so they get a big man, they get a little bit of size. They also hard cap themselves, I believe, until the new year starts of the second apron, which is on July 1st. So as of right now, $189 million is the highest that they can go. But there's some more that we're going to learn about as we move throughout the show and throughout the week. And then, of course, they agree to a two-way deal with Reese Beckham, who's a former two-time ACC Defensive Player of the Year at Virginia, 22 years of age, probably just a player that you're looking to sign some free agents. At least this guy, again, like you mentioned, Grandy, has a tool. I think we can establish the fact that all three of these players have a tool. They're also more finished products, which kind of aligns with what they did last year, opting for something they felt was more of a sure thing in Pajemski. And then, of course, Trace Jackson Davis in the second round.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely the heel turn from the 2021 draft and 2020
more
as well.
Pro-ready players.
Exactly. And it's also a little bit, or not a little, it's a lot different based on where you're picking from. Like what the Warriors did last year, specifically with the Trace Jackson Davis pick in the 50s, was pretty remarkable. What they were able to get out of that spot. And I mean, you were there, you were at Chase Center in person. I was watching on YouTube along with everybody else. Trace Jackson Davis, I don't know if it's just the angle. I mean, he's got a new haircut, and I know Goo was all over him for that.
I was surprised he didn't go after the soul patch first.
Yeah, he got some facial hair growing as well.
He
looks entirely different. I don't know if it's just the hair and the facial hair, or if it is the body a little bit after a little more than or a couple of months now being out of, you know, being in front of a camera that we all can see every single day. But that was something I noticed. I don't know how you feel seeing him in person. But it does seem like the Warriors are trying to target guys that have legitimate transferable skills. Like shooting translates. Whether you can shoot in college, you can shoot in the NBA, you know, maybe it takes a little bit to adjust, but you're not going to lose that shooting touch. If you're a great defender in college, obviously there are better athletes and better everything in the NBA. You're not going to be a great defender immediately in the NBA, but those kinds of things translate. So that they're going for those kinds of skills. But again, I'm not going to get excited because we don't know if even last year with Pajemski, a first round pick, and Trace Jackson Davis, numerous Warriors, including Kirk Lake up with you guys today, with Steiny and Goo today. Steve Kerr said it a couple of times earlier. They were expecting, flat out expecting, nothing. No contributions from both Pajemski and Trace Jackson Davis this past season. So let's just not get too ahead of ourselves and assume that Waters and Post and Beekman are going to have really any kind of impact on this team this year. And frankly, Evan, the Warriors are searching for players that could have an impact on their team this year. So I don't want to get too overjoyed by this, because bottom line, I mean, these were guys that were picked, either not picked in the draft, like Waters was, although he's been in the league now for a couple of years. He was undrafted a few years ago out of Oklahoma State, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Beekman undrafted, and then post-drafted 52nd overall. So let's slow down just a little bit, but you're right. Each of those guys do have defined skills that you would hope should translate pretty easily.
No, and you also have to fill all roster spots. I'll ask you this. I'll just kind of throw it out there. I don't know if anybody else was wondering why they were, at the time, buying into the 52nd. Did you ever think that maybe Bronny James was going to be a guy that the Warriors were going to buy in to get?
I didn't really ever think so. No.
I do have some thoughts on it. We can save it for later in the show. Teaser. It's a
Bronny.
Joke. It's a joke. But they do have to fill out, for example, like two more roster spots, assuming that they don't combine a certain amount of players for and package them for a deal. And this is also assuming that they opt into Chris Paul's, they get that they guarantee is $30 million. Like right now, as it stands, they have 13 players on the roster for 15 spots. But I guess they've technically operated each of the last 2 years pretty much with just 14 guys on the roster. So, you know, maybe you have one more to fill out. But I do think that someone like Waters, I can imagine playing at some point next season. You know, it's probably not in a position that you want him to be playing big minutes, but he, I mean, right now, Quentin Post is probably a candidate to make the roster, but you're right. They didn't gain anybody during this day, in fact, that is supposed to be an impact player. But I do think it's interesting what the Warriors did with the 52nd pick buying back in, because maybe the bigger, I don't know about alarm, but you know, flag that was thrown up. If you're a Warriors fan and you're wondering, you've been hearing these rumors and we talked about it a lot yesterday. You know, are they going after Paul George? Jimmy Butler looks like he's going to stay in Miami now. Kevin Durant appears, and I kind of always thought that he was going to stay in Phoenix. So these big fish that the Warriors were hunting for, Paul George is still a possibility, but it's not really looking like it's going to happen for Golden State. And then, of course, by buying back into the second round, it hard caps the Warriors in the second apron, which right now the space that they have between where they're at and the second apron is about $11.1 million. So they cannot go over that. I'm not exactly sure if it means that they're not still trying to make a move, if this is just a move that moves in the direction of optionality, which is a word I feel like we've heard a million times since last summer. And if they're just trying to keep all doors open at this point, Mark. But I was listening to William Dibbs on the way over, and at least from what I could glean that they believe, I'm kind of with them. I'm not so sure the Warriors are expecting to make as big of a splash as a lot of people had hoped they would.
Yeah, I tend to get that sense as well. And some of it comes from what Ramona Shelburne told them earlier in the 5 o'clock hour. And essentially, and I'll be able to get the sound a little bit here. I don't have it ready just now, but we can get to it a little bit later on in the show. Near the end of the interview, after it kind of was trending in this direction throughout the whole conversation, Mark Willard asked a good question at the end. Just simply, hey Ramona, if you were to tell Warrior fans, what should they be expecting the Warriors to do over the next week or two? Like, should they be expecting a big move? And Ramona essentially said,
maybe.
They're trying their hardest. They're trying every single thing they possibly can. They're calling every team about every potential disgruntled, old, overpaid star, and they're trying to get something done. But I'm not sure if they're going to be able to do it. And it honestly does seem to be trending in that direction where they're trying as hard as they possibly can. But as we talked about yesterday, Evan, you need a different team, a team to play ball with you. And if no team is willing to play ball with you, there is nothing you can do. And it seems like we're headed down that road where, despite the Warriors' best efforts, it just might not simply be in the cards for them to be able to acquire one of these big guys, these big fish this offseason. And if that's the case, then the question becomes, what is the pivot? What do the Warriors pivot to? It's not an easy one to answer.
No, and I think Ramona Shelburne is extremely smart. She's well-liked. She does great work. But the framing of it takes another partner to play with, like, yes, but also the Warriors aren't ones, I think, that are a team that's going to, at this point, mortgage a lot of their future. So, yes, you need another team to trade you one of those players. You also have to give them an offer that they feel is fair.
You got to be willing
to. You have to be willing to step to the table. You got to be willing to play. And I don't think the Warriors are positioning themselves, as I read the body language, like they're willing to play to the extent that it would take to bring in a big name. That also might be the right move. They also might make the right decision in not spending however many picks for, say, Paul George or somebody else. But I don't want it to be, at least how I'm reading it is, it's not like the Warriors are going to get aggressive just to get aggressive. And that also might mean that they miss out.
And as a result, you might lose Klay Thompson. And you could be left with nothing. Now, maybe you think that Klay on the Warriors is not a great thing anyway, and you could feel that way. I think the Warriors are better with Klay than they are without him in a vacuum. You need shooting, and Klay, despite the fact that it was one of his worst shooting seasons of his career, he's still a very good shooter, and I think there's reason to believe he probably puts up better percentages a year from now than he did this most recent season. But
also, by the way, the whole trying hard thing, like, I tried very hard not to get lower than a C in physics one. I couldn't do it. Like, I tried my hardest. I stayed up late. I went to tutors. I went to, you know, the professor during extra hours. I did all I can.
I tried my best to pass that AP physics exam, and I failed big time.
Yeah, well, I didn't even get to the exam because I wasn't one of the people that could qualify to take the test. So you can try as much as you want, but it also didn't mean that I was able to walk home and say, well, you know, I tried my best and here's this, 2.8 GPA. And that's going to, it's like, no, you need to get a 3.0 to keep your scholarship. Otherwise, you got to fork over an X amount of $1,000. Fortunately, it ended up not being the case. Got a little bit of help towards the end.
There we go.
But it wasn't because I didn't work hard. Like, I tried my best, but the fact is the results are the results. If the Warriors quote unquote try their hardest this summer to make a move, it doesn't happen, Klay walks, and you're left with the current team that we're looking at, people ain't going to be very happy. And I feel like we need to start preparing ourselves for that to be a possibility. It was kind of what we were talking about at the end of the show yesterday. That's a very real possibility.
And that team, it would be this most recent year's team, likely without Chris Paul and without Klay Thompson, and you add in a couple of minor pieces here and there.
See, I think no matter what, I don't know, I could be dead ass wrong, but I think they're picking up Chris Paul's $30 million no matter what. And I do think that means he could be on the team because you're able to keep the slot.
Well, yeah, so let's talk through this. What is there to gain for the Warriors by declining Chris Paul's option? The only thing you're gaining is
You're getting under the luxury tax.
That's the only thing
you're saving money, which is
saving a lot of money.
You're saving a lot of money, yes, but people are not going to be happy because this is an organization that has not made money saving that much of a priority.
Yes, and by doing that, to your point, you lose the money slot. I know there's a lot of people out there, and I don't blame anyone. I mean, you and I are in this business, and we don't know close to the full CBA and how it all works. It is an extremely intricate thing with so many nooks and crannies. It's brand new. I mean, Ramona Shelburne was on the station last hour and she openly admitted like three different times, I don't know how this thing even works. But what we can say, what we do know, because of the Golden State Warriors situation and because they're over the tax already, you just decline Chris Paul's option and you might think, well, that's $30 million. They're not spending. Go spend it on somebody else. No, you can't do that. Because you're over the cap. Like you can't just go out and spend that. Now, if you could get down eventually low enough where you could go out and sign somebody, but not likely upwards, $30 million or upwards. Like it's going to be very difficult for the Warriors to be able to pull that off. So while they would save a bunch of money by doing that, they don't have the ability to really gain any sort of player that might be able to move the needle. And I think what you're getting at, Evan, is either you agree with Chris Paul to push back the deadline. The deadline is tomorrow. So no matter what, there will be some sort of news on this, whether the Warriors decline his option, whether they pick it up, or whether they kick the can down the road. We could also talk about what is in it for Chris Paul in kicking the can down the road. But for the Golden State Warriors, picking it up or not picking it up, by picking it up, maybe you are locking yourself to Chris Paul for another season and locking yourself to his $30 million. And maybe ultimately you pay a much higher tax bill as a result. But by picking it up, you are also giving yourself a lot more time to try to figure out a trade partner for Chris Paul. Maybe somebody who has space and would like to have a veteran point guard who's still pretty damn good when he's available and when he's healthy to maybe help their team through a postseason run.
That is Mark Grandy. My name is Evan Giddings. This is the Draft Show on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners. The Chris Paul thing is interesting because, of course, that's the biggest domino. I know Klay Thompson has kind of been seen as that from the start, but the Warriors, because of their body language, I've interpreted it as they're just putting him on the back burner, and he is more than welcome to go seek out another offer, of which there are some rumors floating, and we can get to that in a moment. But sticking with Paul, that's the next big choice the Warriors have to make. And I don't know about you, Grandy, but I do not see from everything we've learned about Joe Lacob, I don't see the Warriors getting off his deal just to get off his deal. I think that either they guarantee it, bring in the $30 million in order to make it or try to make a move later, or they push it down the road, eventually guarantee his $30 million, and even potentially keep him on the team to try and use it as a trade chip at the deadline, because all through next season, he remains a pretty valuable expiring contract. So I think they might have even moved him this season, although he was hurt at the time, if things had gone in the wrong direction. But around the trade deadline was when they started to kind of reemerge, play better basketball. I think that saved a couple people on this team. But I think also they're trying to figure out, you know, how they can use Paul and Wiggins' contract. Because also one thing that I listened to that Ramona was talking about is about how there's kind of a wage gap right now that's growing in the NBA, much like our country. People are either making a ton of money or they will be making very little money. Or, I mean, the mid-level, yes, but the idea of guaranteeing a player, you know, a Chris Paul type deal, $30 million, there's going to be a lot less of those players unless they're on their rookie scale deal, which in case they're probably not acquirable anyways. So using Chris Paul is probably the only way for the Warriors to go out and actually trade for a star level player, for a max slot salary level player. That's why I just think that even if it comes to him being on the team, they will still keep that money as an option to potentially trade it in the future.
Yeah, let's put it this way. If the Warriors decline Chris Paul's option tomorrow, or I guess at any point, but tomorrow included, because they could, again, agree, Chris Paul and the Warriors could agree to push the deadline down the road. The deadline is tomorrow for the Warriors to decide whether or not they want to guarantee Chris Paul's $30 million. They can both agree and kick the can down the road and then make the decision later. Say it happens tomorrow, and say the decision is to not guarantee the contract, to just waive him. You owe him nothing, or you owe him very little, nowhere near the $30 million, and he becomes a free agent. That is a sign to me, Evan, that the Golden State Warriors are relatively convinced or have tried every avenue, and they're not going to be able to move Chris Paul for a player or part of the deal and get in return a player that helps them out a lot. Mm-hmm. If the Golden State Warriors cut Chris Paul, they waive Chris Paul, and they just make him a free agent to save all that money, again, a lot of money to save, it almost seems to me as a white flag on the big game hunting part of this offseason. So in order to keep that dream alive, to keep that hope alive, whether or not it's the right decision and a terribly smart decision, because maybe there's just nothing out there. Maybe no one is that interested in Chris Paul, at least to the extent where the Warriors feel like they are getting better as a result. And maybe they just get left with that money, and Joe Lacob is upset because he's paying a ton of money once again for a team that isn't very good. But I think just for the option of, you're right, that slot still being available, it's more likely than not that they pick up the option. Again, if they decline it, if they waive Chris Paul by the deadline tomorrow or whenever they agree to push it off to, I think it's essentially saying, we tried our best, but the fish aren't biting for us right now.
Yeah, I mean, technically they could, you know, waive him, and then they could use that money or some of that money to re-sign Klay Thompson. Like, that is somebody they can re-sign because he's previously on the team.
That doesn't qualify as like big game hunting, like so many Warrior fans have been hoping for.
No, but again, and that would signal a sense of just running it back. And it also means that you don't think that you were just a 46 win team last year. And I just don't believe that the Warriors look at last season and say we were good enough to just bring people back and do it again. I mean, maybe if they had made the postseason, won a round, they could convince themselves of that. But as a lottery team, you know, I just don't know how you can sit in that room and say that that's the direction that we should continue to go down. So I think keeping the Chris Paul contract beyond June 28th, even if they decide to push it, I think that to me is the right move no matter what. And I think it also kind of spells the end of Klay Thompson. I mean, I think Clay is right now a player that can go out, and there's pretty much two destinations that have cap space to get him. I think both of them are lining up for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who is probably the biggest name that opted out or has opted out so far. The Denver Nuggets are going to agree to an extension with Jamal Murray for 4 years and $209 million. They got a lot of money wrapped up in KCP opts out.
You're talking about Orlando and Philadelphia.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think both Orlando and Philly, their preference would be Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And if neither of them can acquire him, Klay Thompson would be the next best thing.
And the other thing that Ramona said, and I agree with this 100%, it makes just a lot of sense to me. The Klay Thompson sweepstakes might...
Are we calling them sweepstakes?
The Klay Thompson, I don't know, free agency situation, whatever you want to call it. It might wrap up relatively quickly because there are few teams that have the cap space to sign Klay Thompson. And I guess maybe the one thing that makes this, that could make it not quick is if Klay is only going to sign for like $25 million a year or whatever, maybe he just doesn't get it and then he's got to reset. But there's only a couple of teams, Orlando and Philly, that has the quote unquote space for Klay. And that space generally gets tied up in players relatively quickly, so whether it's Klay or it's somebody else, relatively soon into free agency, there might not be a team that has a lot of room for Klay anymore. And then he's got to make a decision. So I think there's a chance that we could get a good direction of where this Klay thing goes, maybe within the first day of free agency.
Yeah, and look, I know that publicly the Warriors, and they continue today, Lacob, Trace Jackson Davis, although I do believe him. Yesterday, you guys spoke with the general manager, correct? Larry Harris.
Assistant GM.
So I think publicly everyone is saying the right things about Klay, that they want him back, and he's obviously a big piece of the franchise, and you know he's a legend and all the rest. I think privately they're hoping that he makes the decision for them and signs somewhere else. And the reason I feel that way is because the Warriors might look around the league and say there are a couple of low level options that could replace his shooting and that don't cost $25 million potentially if that is what his market is. We can continue the conversation on the other side. If you think smoking rocks, please let me know. 888-957-9570. That's Mark Granny. My name is Evan Giddings. We continue on our draft night show here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Penninelli Financial Partners. Their people, process, and passion inspire them to holistically serve their client families. We'll be back after this on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Well, Randy, I might be smoking. This is from the 650 on the Xfinity Mobile text line. Evan is smoking rocks.
Well, reset with your opinion.
All right, so this is our draft show on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Pennantelli Financial Partners. That's Mark Grandy. My name is Evan Giddings. The Warriors trade the 52nd overall pick earlier today for Lindy Waters III with Oklahoma City. Then they buy back into the second round at the same spot with the Portland Trailblazers to select Quentin Post, a 25-year-old 7'3" point shooter who hard caps them at the second apron. And they also agree to a two-way deal with Reese Beekman, a former UVA Cavalier and two-time ACC Defensive Player of the Year. So what the 650 is referring to is just before the break, I said that I feel like publicly the Warriors are telling us that they want Klay Thompson back, that they love him, they would embrace him with open arms. But privately, I believe that they are hoping that Klay Thompson makes the decision for them by signing elsewhere. How far off am I, do you think?
I think they want Klay Thompson back in a vacuum, but it's at their price. And they are not comfortable going over their price. Whatever their price is, I'm not sure, but I think there's a pretty wide difference between what they're comfortable with and what Klay is looking for. I think if, you know, you get Klay's desirable contract is, I don't know, throw out a number, 3 years and $70 million, say that's what Klay wants, something like that, like a little more than $20 million a year. Say that's what Klay wants. 3 years, $70 million. I think, like, dead stop. Hell no from the Golden State Warriors. They don't want to do that. So I think in that sense, you're right, that maybe they're keeping up appearances a little bit. They're saying the right things publicly, but internally, but in reality, they don't feel comfortable bringing Klay back at that number. But considering what this Warriors roster is right now, and considering the struggles we saw for a lot of last season, I cannot in good faith say I think this Warriors team is, and this is not what you're saying per se, maybe you do believe it. I don't think the Warriors are better without Klay Thompson. They just can't afford to pay him what he wants to be paid. If they're going to have him come off the bench as a sixth man, as a seventh man, I mean, there was a report last week that they want Brandon Pajemski to be their starting shooting guard alongside Steph Curry next year. And he started for a lot of this past season as well. And while there are some limitations with a lineup that features two guards like that, that aren't necessarily the biggest and the baddest on the defensive end, Pajemski had an awesome rookie year, and you'd expect him to continue playing at that level, if not better, in his second season. I just don't think the Warriors are comfortable at the number that Klay wants. But if it's closer to, like, I don't know, $13 million a year, I think they'd be much, much more likely to do something like that. So in a vacuum, they want Klay back. But where he is likely going to be willing to sign for at that number, I think I'm with you. They say hell no to that.
Well, and that's why I believe that they're hoping that they make the choice. I mean, yes, on paper, you have to replace 18 points a game. You have to replace 3.5 threes per game on 39% shooting. You have to replace a 93% free throw shooter. Like that, yes, all of those things are true. Klay Thompson last season was their second highest scorer. You say, huh, well, Evan, that's weird. So if he walks, how are they better? Well, again, if he was really that important, I do believe we would know what his future is going to be in Golden State by now. Like, if he was really that important, I think there would be some indication of a decision about him.
Well, but if they were comfortable paying him what he wanted, he'd be signed already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's clearly a hang up. There's clearly a gap. And from what was reported by Anthony Slater, there also hasn't been a conversation or there hasn't been an offer at all since the 2 for $48. And from other reports, that offer is off the table. Like, that offer is not even there anymore. So that's why I think that they're hoping that Clay makes the choice for them so that they can appear to be the ones that gladly wish Klay Thompson an excellent rest of his career, but no longer need his services. Because I do think that they, quote unquote, want him back. But you're right. It's at their number. And their number is nowhere near Klay Thompson's number from everything that I can glean. And so I think the Warriors, again, are hoping that Klay Thompson makes the choice for them by signing somewhere else come July 1st or June 30th, because then they can use the money elsewhere. They can save, you know, the 43 comes off the books. They might be able to repurpose it for a deal, which would involve Chris Paul, other contracts. They don't have to worry about making Clay happy. Also, your other point, someone like Pajemski, people might not like it, but I do think it allows them to clear a runway for a player like him or a player like Moses Moody, players that they believe in, but either because of just a numbers game or because they haven't grown as quickly as they liked or because they've been placating to older players such as Klay Thompson, they have not allowed them to show us what they truly are. And maybe the Warriors feel, this is another thing too, like the body language right now appears to me, it leads me to believe that they think that they can make up that production lost if Pajemski gets better, if Kuminga gets better, if Moody gets better, and if Trayce Jackson-Davis gets better, that they actually won't take that big of a step back if they have to. I think, again, option A is to go out and acquire, you know, a cemented star. But if they can do that, and it's becoming increasingly likely that they aren't able to do that, at least with the names that we've heard, because it looks like, you know, the Paul George thing was just posturing. The Clippers are basically going to dare him to leave at this point. Jimmy Butler is going to become a free agent next year and play in Miami no matter what. And then Kevin Durant, I think the really only option of a trade was to Houston, and Houston didn't want to give up anything worth their salt, and Phoenix may not have wanted to trade him at all in the first place. So those big three names have been off the board for the Warriors. Thus, the Warriors weren't going to be able to do anything anyways. And so right now they might be saying, well, let's just get younger then. Like that might be, I'm sure that's not option A, but that might end up being all that they can do.
Well, yeah. And do you remember what Warriors general manager Mike Dunleavy said earlier this week? He had his pre-draft press conference, and the way it's gone the last few years for the Warriors, it has not been about the draft. It's been about everything but the draft, essentially, at the GM's pre-draft presser. One of the first questions he was asked, I remember it was Anthony Slater, our Warriors insider here on 95.7 The Game, who asked Mike Dunleavy Jr., at this stage, given the roster constraints, and we know very well what all those are, they have so much money tied up on all their veterans right now that they don't have a lot of room to be flexible and to make moves, at least to go out and outwardly sign people. They have people to trade and money to free up, but they can't just go out and sign a big name free agent right now for those reasons. You know, they're up against the cap, and now they're hard capped up against the second apron. So the question from Anthony Slater to Mike Dunleavy, Warriors GM, was, do you feel like, given your situation, the best way for you to really improve your team this offseason is to make a trade? And Mike Dunleavy basically said, you know what? I think it's internal development. That's the way that we get better. That's the most obvious and the easiest way for us to get better this offseason. And I can't remember if he continued on in this same answer or was asked later about trades again, but he essentially said, you know, pulling off trades like the ones that have been rumored for the last handful of weeks, it's really, really difficult to do. It's tough to do. It's similar to what Ramona Shelburne said last hour here on 95.7 The Game, similar to what so many of us have been thinking as well. And what we've been talking about, you need two teams to agree. And
whether, do you buy that, though, that it's hard to make a trade?
I buy that it's like, it's not always the, I mean, you're talking about a player that you feel like if you're the Warriors can legitimately turn you into a contender again. Acquiring someone like that is not easy. I don't care who they are. I don't care how old they are.
I don't think it's hard to do if you're willing to overpay. I just don't think the Warriors are willing to overpay. In fact, I think they want to underpay for whatever they're doing.
You might be right. And I'm just bringing this up because I think it goes exactly with what you're saying. Mike Dunleavy asked, is trades the best way for you to get better this offseason? And he says, no, it's internal development. Like, and he doesn't have to be telling us the truth in every single one of these answers or any of them. Like, this is the public facing portion of the GM's job, and he could be lying to everybody's face and you wouldn't blame him. Like, if that's what the job calls for, it's what you do. But he outwardly said the easiest way for us to improve this offseason is internal development. And that is Kuminga getting better and Moody getting better and Pajemski getting better and Trayce Jackson-Davis getting better. Not just them individually improving, but, you know, being given the runway to actually learn on the job and to improve. So maybe we just take Mike Dunleavy at face value, believe him for what he's saying, and we put all these, I don't know, these things together, the fact that Jimmy Butler is probably not going to be traded away, that Kevin Durant, Matt Ishbia, the Phoenix Suns owner, is too proud. He's a new owner. He's worth so much freaking money. He's not going to want to trade Kevin Durant if he can avoid it. He's going to try to avoid it as best he possibly can. Steve Ballmer's opening up a new arena. Why would he want to get rid of Paul George if he does not have to? It's a last course result, last course of action for those teams. If they can keep those guys, I would guess they all would want to keep those guys. So maybe we just take all of this together and we believe that the Warriors are at a point where maybe they really feel like the best chance for them to improve their team is by their young guys taking second year or fourth year leaps.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the Warriors, they're like, they're like a gambler at a poker table that has a decent amount of chips, but is like myself, risk averse, is not willing to ante up and double down. For example, they're a team or a player at a poker table. If we're playing five card draw.
Okay.
If we're playing, Texas Hold'em. If we're playing Texas Hold'em, the Golden State Warriors are the team that, unless they're getting pocket aces, they're not playing. Unless they flop a face card, a pair of face cards, or three of a kind, they're not playing. Like, they're not a team that is willing to pay to see at the turn, or nevertheless, even the river. I don't think they're trying to bluff people right now. I don't think they're trying to play too many games. I think they're just playing it right down the middle, which may very well end up being the right move, but it is also not what I think a lot of fans expected this summer, coming off a 10 seed finish and a non-playoff appearance. They're expecting the Warriors to go headfirst on the flop, the turn, and the river, and then hopefully turn into a massive hand. And I just don't think the Warriors, either because they're risk averse or they don't feel like there is, you know, a deal that is initially great for them, that they're going to do that. And so that's why, again, I feel like they hope that Klay Thompson makes the decision for them and leaves so that they can better evaluate their hand. And hopefully some sort of star becomes disgruntled or opts out or calls their own team's bluff and becomes available, in which that case they can jump on the river. Like, I think that's all they're hoping for right now. And I just am not sure that's going to be the correct decision.
I like your analogy. I'm not sure, though, I agree with the Warriors being so risk averse. I think the way to look at this Warriors thing, if we are to compare it to a Texas Hold'em round, is if the Warriors were dealt 2-7 offsuit and one of the worst hands in poker, what are you going to do with that if you're the Golden State Warriors?
But how can you say you have a 7-2 if you have Steph Curry?
You have 36-year-old Steph Curry. Yeah, he's making $50+ million a year, and just no one else on the roster who is on his level.
But he was just an all-NBA player. Okay, so you have one face card.
Okay, maybe 2-7 isn't the right, but they're
not the Portland Trail
Blazers. Let's not pretend like they are one of the 10 best situations in the NBA right now.
No, but why are they in that situation?
Because it's the natural course of a team that won championships. You have so many inflated contracts. You have no choice but to sign these guys.
I mean, I think it's also just because they've just doubled down on their hands like the last couple of years.
Maybe, but if we're looking at it from a right here and right now, they don't have a good hand. Like, can we agree on they don't have a very good hand?
No.
So why would you take a risk and go all in if you don't have a good hand. If you feel like you're going to get beat by most of the people around you at the table, I'm folding. I'm not going in.
No,
and
but
that's not necessarily being risk averse. That's just being smart.
I would disagree a little bit because I do think that if you have a face card, you should be willing to pay to get to the turn. They see the flop and they're out. Like, I think that's to me being risk averse. Like, they're not even willing to pay to get to the fourth card.
And what makes you say that? The fact that you feel like they're not willing to make Kuminga available? Is that what you're talking about?
No, it's because they're just letting everything play out in front of them. Like, they're at the table just surveying right now.
Well, they've been very active. They've been calling everybody. Checking in on everybody.
So is everybody else. But like,
okay, well, what else do you want them to do aside from calling everybody versus like, what is there in between calling anybody and actually making the trade? Like, where are they falling short?
By not making the playoffs. You mean this offseason?
I'm talking about this offseason, yeah. Or are you talking about this from a larger perspective?
Well, I'm just saying, like, I feel like the objective this summer was to get better. If the plan the whole time was to just stand pat, let Clay make a decision for them, he walks, maybe he comes back at a certain number, and then we internally grow. I just feel like the messaging is a lot different than what we've been hearing about what they've been trying to do. Like, I feel like a lot of the moves that they've been trying, at least that have been reported, have been more large scale. I mean, the reports are they want to make larger scale upgrades.
Yeah, they've called about Jimmy Butler. They've called about Paul George. They've called about Kevin Durant. They've called about Lauri Markkanen. And maybe they're all dead ends, but what else can they do?
They can offer more. Like, I mean, I think one of the reasons why they make calls and the calls aren't very long is because they're not willing to part with anything worth value. You have to do that in order to get someone big. So if you actually do indeed want to get a big player, you have to be willing to give something up. I don't think the Warriors right now are telling us they want to give anything up.
So, yeah, I mean, I would agree.
Outside of buying a second round pick.
And get themselves hard capped up under the second apron. I agree with you. I've always been of the belief and what I want out of my sports teams, the teams that I choose for. I want aggressiveness and I want extremes to one extreme or the other. I dislike this, like, kind of hitting it down the middle and to some degree you're going for, to some degree you're not. And the way to bring this home to this current conversation, I think, is exactly what you're saying. They're making all the calls for all the big boys, but maybe they're not willing to put Kuminga on the table. And maybe the only way you get one of the big boys is by making Kuminga available. And you can argue that it would not be smart to trade Kuminga plus Chris Paul plus Wiggins or whatever it would be to make the money work to get Paul George, for example. Like, you could think that's not a smart move and you don't want the Warriors to do it. Okay, that's fair. But if you are going to be willing enough to try to get Steph Curry talent around him to win one more in these next 2 years, maybe three, maybe four at the very most, if he signs another contract, you never know, certainly possible. Go all in for it. Don't just say, yeah, we're trying, but we're not doing everything in our power. On the flip side, if you're not going to be able to do that and you don't want to go all in to try to win another one, I'm not opposed to going to the other extreme, which I know is never going to happen. I'm not even going to say the words because it's not even something that the Warriors would ever consider. But Evan, I'm of the belief that in these sorts of situations where you have kind of two paths to go down, just go down to one of them and don't hang out in the middle. Go all in one direction or the other. And don't just kind of dilly-dally around the middle.
See, now I feel like we're trading hats because in a way I don't necessarily want to see one of the extremes because I think either could put you in a terrible position. I do think my issue is that the direction, based on the rumors and everything we've been hearing, signals something completely different from the actual application, like the body language of the team. All the rumors that we've been hearing is that they want to upgrade. They want to get Steph as much help as possible to just go all in for Curry. And then we see that, well, they're actually unwilling to move. It feels like they're unwilling to move Kuminga, or they're unwilling to come off of first round picks, or they're unwilling to dip back into a certain luxury region. They want to get a, like,
so you think it's a front?
Yeah, like there's just conflicting messages right now. Like the Warriors right now, here's a golf analogy. You're on a like a par four, 420 yards or something like that. There's a fairway and there's not much. Like the second cut is off to the side. It's straight down the middle. And they break out the driver, Big Bertha, and they step to the tee. They kind of size it up and they go, actually, I think I'll tee off with a 5 iron. Like, no, just swing the club. Like if you have the club out and you're sizing it up, just take a hack. As opposed to, the wind's whipping a little bit to the left. And, and then you start thinking about how you hit your driver on the last two holes. Oh, but my second shot was a little bit better. I'm just going to put it right down the fairway. Like, honestly, I think the Warriors right now, their ideal move would be something like they did last summer by trading Jordan Poole for Chris Paul. A move that gives them optionality and doesn't necessarily move the floor or the ceiling that much for them.
Just kind of delays the tough decision again.
Exactly. Because then they can say that they did everything they could. Maybe they get a player, a future Hall of Famer who is a little bit on the other side of 35. They get a guy that they can envision coming in to help. But really, they just want to use his contract just in case things go further south. Like they're preparing for the worst while also telling us that they're trying to aim for the best. And I just don't think you can do either of those things. I don't have an issue with you hitting the 5 iron. But just take it out of your bag first and quit dilly-dallying with the driver.
So in your mind, is Steph in on this like deception that the Warriors are trying to pull?
I don't think it's deception. I mean, it feels like a PR game. I mean, maybe it's the same thing to you, but...
Yeah, so...
Perception, yeah.
The Warriors are outwardly saying, or not themselves, but reports are, and you know where those come from... The Warriors are trying as best they can to get another big name guy, but maybe they feel like that's not in their best interest. Is Steph involved in that conversation and ultimately coming to that conclusion in your mind?
Wait, sorry, what? Steph?
Is Steph like in on that? Or are the Warriors doing this behind Steph's back?
Because no, Steph, I don't think they do anything behind his back.
So my question becomes, what is in that for Steph? How does that help Steph? Why would Steph be okay with that?
Because Steph is one of a kind. Because Steph is one of the nicest human beings in the history of this game.
So perhaps Steph
and
realizes...
is a competitor and is going to compete no matter what is around him.
So you think Steph is like, all right, that doesn't help me as much as I hoped, but I'm okay with it?
I think that they're trying to sell Steph on, look, if we go all in for this year and it doesn't work, well, then you're not going to be able to compete for anything. For the remainder of your NBA life, we're trying to make sure that you age as gracefully as possible over the next, 4 years or however long you expect him to keep playing.
I find it hard to believe that's what Steph wants, but maybe he does. I feel like Steph wants the best chance to win right now.
I mean, don't we all? But at the same time, if the Warriors went to him hypothetically and were like, we're going to go all in for this season and our ceiling is... the conference finals. Like, we think we could maybe win a round or two with this move, but it's going to cost us, and you might not be happy with not making the playoffs the last 2 or 3 years of a career. I mean, that has happened to a couple legends. Kobe Bryant, his last 3 years, he played on, I think, like a 22-win team, a 30-win team, and a 27-win team or something. But people love him. And he's the most insane competitor in the world. And he was okay playing with Nick Young and Ish Smith and... God knows who else. The baby Lakers, right? It was Ball, Randall. I don't know if Ingram was on that.
Josh Hart was... And then they had D'Angelo Russell
back then,
too.
They had a nice little squad. Yeah, the snitch. They had a nice little squad. So, to say that Steph's not going to be okay with it, it's like, in a way, I mean, I agree, but also, I mean, if Kobe freaking Bryant was okay with kind of just fading out, I'm not sure Curry is one to make a stink about it.
I find that hard to believe. And to our chatters on YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union, let's see, Admin says Lakeup will not do anything without Curry's approval. Yes, I agree 100%, which is why I brought it up. If the Warriors are doing something, Steph Curry is aware of it, and Steph Curry, at the very least, did not put up a stink about it. So if what you're saying is right, then to me, it's saying that Steph Curry is okay with it. And I find it hard to believe that Steph Curry would be willing to say okay to something that doesn't necessarily give him the best chance to win right now. That's my point. But
well, if Steph got his way, Gary Payton II wouldn't have made the roster in 2022.
You're right. It would have been
Avery Bradley.
You're right.
So the Warriors have made decisions before that Steph has not necessarily been on board with.
But this is a different scale decision.
I agree. I mean, but if Klay walks, do you think that Curry would be the difference in him being there or not? I think that it just has to do with the number. We can continue the conversation on the other side. If you want to chime in, 888-957-9570 is the number. That's Mark Grandy. My name is Evan Giddings. This is our NBA Draft Show on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners, who strive to build long-lasting relationships with their clients, offering education and guidance throughout life's journey. We'll be back after this on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.